Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 18th of June, 2021. I am so thrilled to have my favorite preacher of all time. That is not an exaggeration. Anybody who knows me will know that I have repeatedly said throughout my life, since 1996 anyway, that my favorite preacher, the preacher that I believe to be the most powerful preacher on the planet Earth today, is Dr. Conrad Mbewe. He has received his PhD from the University of Pretoria, and he is a pastor at Kubwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. He's also the founding chancellor, senior lecturer, and director of advancement and faculty at African Christian University, and the author and contributor to many books. Today we are addressing the theme, The Gospel is the Same for Every Nation, for those of all the tribes, peoples, and languages of all the earth. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear friend, Dr. Conrad Mbewe.
Hello, brother. Those accolades you've given, they have left me blushing here, but I'm glad nobody can see the way I'm looking.
In fact, I wouldn't be able to tell if you were sitting next to me.
Exactly. That's one blessing God has given me with his skin color. But I'm glad to be with you on this program.
Yeah, it was a thrill to hear you speak at Grace Reformed Baptist Church recently in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, a sister church to the church where I am a member, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle. And I understand that you are going to be preaching tonight, Saturday, and Sunday at Grace Fellowship Church in Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
Yes, yes, I begin tonight. They have a missions conference, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to minister there. I was last year when Ted Tripp was pastor, so it's good to be back with the congregation.
Amen. And if anybody listening would like to attend that, if you're able to get to Hazleton, Pennsylvania, the weekend with Dr. Mbewe starts tonight at 5:30 for a potluck supper. And then at 6:45 p.m. is when Dr. Mbewe will be preaching on the mandate for church planting. Saturday, June the 19th, there will be a missions fair from 4 to 5:30, and at 5:45 tomorrow evening, Dr. Mbewe will be preaching again on proclaiming God's glory. And then Sunday, June the 20th, well, that actually happens to be my wedding anniversary with my late wife, who is now in heaven. Sunday, June 20th, Dr. Mbewe will be speaking at the Sunday School at 9:30 a.m. and also preaching at the 10:30 a.m. worship in English. And he will then be speaking at 1 p.m. at the Spanish worship. Now, is somebody translating for you, or do you speak Spanish fluently?
Yeah, someone will be translating. Yeah. I don't know a word in Spanish.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants more details, go to gfchazelton.org, GFC, which stands for Grace Fellowship Church, Hazelton, HAZLETON.org. And hopefully I'll remember to repeat that later on. And, of course, we cannot forget the exciting news that Dr. Mbewe will be returning as a guest speaker at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia. I will be there manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio once again. This will be my fourth year in a row in Atlanta at the G3 conference. I'm so very excited about it. There are over 20 speakers there, and the theme is Christ is Supreme over all. And I know that you typically don't get your assignments on the titles or themes of your sermons until very close to the date of the conference, but I was wondering if you had any idea what you'll be speaking on under that umbrella, of course, of Christ is Supreme over all.
No, not yet. I have a few conferences in between to worry about.
Well, I know that whatever it is, it's going to be magnificent. And
Thank you, brother.
And for more information on registering and all the other details you need to know, g3min.org is one of the websites, g3min.org, and also g3conference.com. g3conference.com, which will probably be easier to remember, g3conference.com, and we'll make sure we repeat that as well. If you could, give us a brief description of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and the exciting news about this church having been involved in the planting of dozens of Reformed Baptist churches in Africa. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, brother, it's been a good journey. I mean, looking back to 1994 when we were about to commence our very first church plant, and we were meeting in a rented hall. We needed to borrow money to pay our own rentals. The church was very reluctant for us to proceed in that direction. But the two of us were elders at that time with a congregation of probably 80 to 90 members, kept arguing with them that the Great Commission was not an optional extra to church life. It was part of our responsibility, and that we needed to begin to play our part. So finally, the church yielded to its leadership, and that's how we began. It was, I want to say, we were swimming against the tide within the congregation itself at that point. Fast forward some 27 odd years, and now, I mean, the last time the church voted at the beginning of this year for us to take on two new church plants in Rwanda, Kigali is the capital city there, it was 100%. So there's been a complete mind shift over a quarter of a decade. Initially, we just responded to SOS calls from brethren in cities or towns that desperately needed such a work. So what I did then was we start with our leadership and then began to be more strategic. So we began to talk in terms of the provincial capital of Zambia, and then we went into the major cities of Zambia, and then now we are in the phase where we are primarily planting churches in the capital cities of English-speaking countries in Africa. So when you put all that together, we've done about 35 church plants in both in Zambia. Well, in Lusaka, we've done about 10 or and then Zambia, and then Africa as well.
Wow, that's mind-blowing, because I don't know of a single church in the United States, a Reformed Baptist church, that has planted that many churches. Maybe you do, I don't. But that's quite a remarkable undertaking and accomplishment by the grace of God, of course. And I believe, I am very confident, that there will be great revival coming in our future that will probably begin in Africa rather than where people here in the United States expect it to occur. I have a lot of confidence that Africa will be the birthplace of a revival in the future, but only God knows that, of course. And
We keep praying. We keep praying.
Amen. And now tell us about African Christian University, which is also a very exciting institution that you have been very much involved in, as well as our mutual friend, Vodi Balcom, who actually uprooted his family from here in the United States and moved to Zambia to be a part of that work. Tell us about African Christian University.
Yeah, it's one of those projects that I often joke about, that if I had known then what I know now about starting a university, we would still be praying about that project. Yeah. So the Lord sort of blinded our eyes for a while, and we then sort of put our feet into the waters. And that's basically what the Lord has done. But it's a wonderful project. We, round about the year 2007, going into 2008, the chairman of our deacons just came to me and spoke about this burden that he had to start a Christian university. And he was not in education, he was in banking, and he was in middle management. But he said this burden just could not go away. So we prayed about it. Then within about 6 months to a year, I got an email from an American missionary in fact, it was a friend of mine, Ronald Kalifungwa, who got this email from an American missionary in Mozambique, wanting to come over to Zambia to talk about this university project that he and his wife had been sort of working on, and it wasn't taking off in Mozambique, so he was wondering whether Zambia would be an appropriate place. So when he came, to cut the long story short, we connected him with this same brother and a number of others, and 2009, so that was 2008, or 2009, he came back to Zambia having resigned as a missionary, having spent a year back in the U.S. raising fresh support. He came to Zambia with his family, and that's how this project took off. It's established on a biblical worldview in all the disciplines. We've got four of them: agriculture, business, education, and of course theology. It uses a semi-classical approach in terms of its mode of teaching, and we really emphasize that. It's got a student labor program, so a third of the cost of education for each student is paid for as the students are working with their hands, teaching them to love work at every level. And so we took about 8 years from the time of conception before the university brought in its first student, which was in 2016. And the delay was largely on the part of government, because private tertiary education was just beginning in Zambia. and they needed to come up with a government watchdog to ensure that we don't defraud their citizens. So that took roughly 4 years before they had their act together. So we were among the first 10 private universities to be registered in the nation of Zambia.
Wow.
And so we took off last year. We had our first graduate, and he was a student in theology from South Africa. And in fact, as I speak, he's now doing his master's here in the United States. So that's the way it's gone. Vodi came and joined us in 2015, which was a few months, actually, before we opened doors to students. And, he's been a great asset, especially on the theological front. As you know, he is a theological heavyweight.
Oh, yeah.
Which is brilliant for us to just make sure we are putting the nails in the right places so that we have a very strong theological foundation for the university. We currently have about 60 students, 60, scattered through all those different disciplines. We have just begun our first postgraduate program, a Master of Arts in Pastoral Theology. It began last month with 7 students, and I'm lecturing in biblical theology, and will say that of all the 7, only one is really struggling, but all the others are just brilliant students. I'm looking forward to seeing them graduate next year in November. So, yeah, that's what's happened. Oh, yes, I need to say that 2019 and 2020, we were raising money to purchase 80 acres of land. And we, outside Lusaka, we managed to raise that money. We have since purchased that land. We have good title, and so beginning this year, we are now working towards raising capital funds to put up the university building. So, yeah, that's where we are.
Well, if anybody wants more information about African Christian University, the website is acu-usa.com, acu-usa.com. Also, if you want more information about Kabwata Baptist Church, where Dr. Mbewe is the pastor, go to kabwatabaptistchurch.com, and that's spelled K-A-B as in boy, W-A-T as in Thomas, A-baptistchurch.com, K-A-B-W-A-T-A, baptistchurch.com. And, of course, there is the personal website of Dr. Mbewe, which is comradembewe.com. Comradembewe.com, and that is spelled comradembewe.com. There's no vowel between the M and the B. So that's unusual for Americans and people in most of the English-speaking world, but not so out of the ordinary for Africa, I understand. And we look forward to something else that I am really excited about. I thank God, and I thank Dr. Mbewe for accepting my invitation to him to be my pastor's luncheon speaker. Those of you who know me long enough and listen to this program long enough know that every year, going all the way back to the 1990s, even before I had my radio show, I have been conducting an annual pastor's luncheon. And this was the brainchild of my late wife, Julie. She knew that I had more friends who were pastors than anyone she had known. And that was largely due to the fact that I've been involved in Christian radio going all the way back to the late 1980s. And she said one Christmas, you know, instead of us exchanging gifts every year, why don't we use that money to treat your pastor friends to a lunch before Christmas, and everything will be free, and you could get all of those Christian publishers that you know to donate books, and you could get a speaker to come in to edify and encourage the men, and I could not help but take her up on her recommendation, and that gave birth to an annual event, and it grew so large that I had to help, that I had to get help from Christian businesses and corporations to help underwrite it. So I have corporate sponsorship now every year. It has grown so large. And I just am thanking God that, God willing, of course, this October the 4th, Monday, October the 4th, just in time to begin Reformation Month, Dr. Conrad Mbewe will be the guest speaker at the annual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. And by the way, there's now typically two pastors' luncheons that we have every year, typically about 6 months apart. And I hope that as many of you as possible will come, no matter where you live. We have had people travel from very far distances to come to the pastors' luncheon. And we hope that no matter where you live, you can take a plane, train, or automobile, or parachute, or what have you, to be there. And you have to be a man in ministry leadership. Let me make that clear. This is a men's luncheon, and it's for pastors, deacons, and parachurch leaders. So send me an email if you are in that category to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put pastors' luncheon in the subject line. Well, our theme today, as I've already announced, is the gospel is the same for every nation and for those of all the tribes, peoples, and languages of all the earth. We are living in a day when it is strangely reverting back to a time of separatism. People want to highlight their skin color and their ethnicity to even more of a significant level of focus than their Christian faith, it seems, which makes me wonder if people such as that are regenerate sometimes. But if you could, tell us how the gospel is not a different message for all of the people of all the world who have differences in skin color and ethnicity and languages. This is a universal gospel, not that it is a gospel of universalism, which is a heresy. There are people that will go to hell. In fact, most of humanity will. But it is one gospel for the entire planet. And if you could even, Dr. Mbewe, start with a definition of what the gospel is, because it's obvious, since there are different understandings of the gospel, there are false gospels out there. Not everybody is on the same page with this. So what is the gospel?
Yeah, well, perhaps let me... Yeah, maybe let me begin from there, because that makes a lot of sense. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, puts it this way. I would have talked about Romans 1:16, where he specifically says that... he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. In fact, perhaps let me just begin there, because from there he goes on to give us what I would consider to be the seed right in the gospel itself, when he says, "For in it," in verse 17, "the righteousness of God is revealed," and ESV says, "from faith for faith," which really is saying from faith to faith, which again is really saying it is all through faith, or as we say, sola fide. So it's basically telling us of a free righteousness that God gives to us, by which he reconciles us to himself, because he's a moral being. And we all have sinned through Adam, and we've also sinned individually through our lives, which means we have forfeited our relationship with him, and we have forfeited every right to eternity with him. In other words, we all deserve to go to hell. But God himself has fixed that through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived a perfectly righteous life, and in that sense merited eternal life. But beyond that, went on to die our death on Calvary, being the divine person that he is, the value of his death would be infinite, and consequently would cover millions upon billions of deaths, that is D-E-B-T-S, that we owe God. And so it is in that sense that a free righteousness is offered to us through this good news, which is what gospel means. It simply means good news. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. So we basically receive that righteousness freely. And the issue of it being for all human beings is covered in that same previous verse. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. But earlier in verse 14, he had said, I'm under obligation both to Greek and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So basically, it is the same gospel for all of us together.
Amen. And we have to go to our first break right now, and we are not taking questions today because this is a pre-recorded program. Dr. Mbewe's schedule was far too full today, being that he is speaking tonight at a conference and has activities going on even before the conference starts. So please withhold your questions for another time, because, as I said, we are pre-recorded. And we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors. So please do not go away.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with a
family. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned into Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, our guest today is Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and also the founding chancellor, senior lecturer, and director of advancement and faculty at African Christian University. We are discussing the gospel is the same for every nation and for those of all the tribes, peoples, and languages of all the earth. And Dr. Mbewe, you just provided for us a biblical definition of the gospel. How is it that we who are theologically reformed, who believe there is such a thing as reprobation, that there are those that will never willingly come to Christ, and those that do are made willing by a sovereign act of God himself? People need to get a transplant from God himself in order to have any true interest in repenting in all truthfulness and receiving Christ and having complete trust in him as their only hope for salvation. Why is it then that we who are reformed still believe that we must proclaim the gospel to all we know and all we meet, and we must be involved in some sense, even if it just means supporting missionaries? We must be involved in sending out missionaries into all the earth so that they will hear the gospel. Why is this, even though only a remnant of humanity will receive this message.
Yeah, well, brother, it's a question that always arises, especially when people are faced with what is clearly a biblical teaching. Okay, nobody would doubt the fact that the Bible actually teaches election, predestination, reprobation, and so on, because those are clearly there in the pages of Scripture. We may argue about their, interpretation, but that those truths are there in the Bible, you can't miss it. Even passages that give us the most wonderful promises with respect to the Christian life, they also, the famous Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Well, that's not where the verse ends. It goes on to say, for those who are called according to his purpose. And in case people are wondering what being called according to his purpose refers to, the next verse says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Son. As I said, some people will hide behind the foreknowledge as being knowing ahead of time that they would choose him. We won't get into that argument for now. Bottom line is, there's an election, there is a reprobation, there is a predestination. Very well, then, how do we reconcile, is often the right word, and I love the way Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, reconcile, I did not know that these truths in the Bible were fighting each other. They seem to be very nicely laid down next to each other in the Bible. Anyway, let's quickly proceed. The best way to answer this is that these are two sides of the same coin. That's basically the way to answer it. That God's sovereignty does not cancel human responsibility, and human responsibility does not cancel God's sovereignty. These are two sides of the same coin, and they are very well taught in the Bible. So on one hand, God has predetermined our end. He's predetermined our salvation. He has chosen us as God the Father, given us to his Son, Jesus Christ, who has then paid the penalty for our sin and given us to the Holy Spirit, that at the predetermined time, the Holy Spirit would regenerate our hearts and through that regeneration give us faith for us to believe this news. And that news is given to us by preachers, through books, through the Bible, through the internet, and so on and so forth. And then we believe and are saved. So that's one end, or one side of the coin, or shield of truth. The other side of the shield of truth is that God uses means. He uses us who preach, who write, books and tracts and booklets, who are on radio, as I am with you right now, who speak and have their messages on the internet to get the word to people. He sends missionaries around the world to go in dangerous places in the world, to live there, to teach and preach there. And through them, that eternal purpose of his that we saw earlier on the side of God's sovereignty is realized. And how God manages to keep these two in tandem across history, we obviously don't know, the Bible clearly teaches, and that's the way he has ordained history. So I can look people in the face and say to them, you must repent, you must believe. If you don't, you're going to go to hell. If you do, you're going to go to heaven. I'm speaking in the context of human responsibility. On my part, I'm also speaking in the context of human responsibility on the individual that I am preaching to. And one example I always use is that of sitting and passing exams, which is easy for our own people to understand. I said to them, which exam did you last pass? And they'll tell me, you know, maybe it was a math exam or a science exam. I'll say, okay, did God preordain that you would pass that exam? And their answer is inevitably yes. That's the answer, because they know enough about God's sovereignty to realize that if God hadn't ordained it, they wouldn't have passed. And that's the very reason why they then praise God for what has happened. Then I said to them, okay, that's one side of the shield of truth. Let's consider the other side. If you hadn't studied, would you have passed? And again, they say no. So there you were doing your utmost in order for you to pass, and yet having passed, you recognize that it was because God had ordained it before the foundation of the world. You did what your responsibility was, and yet recognize that God's sovereignty brought it about. Other people did not pass, and so on and so forth. So, in the same way with salvation, well, almost the same way, the logic is what is the same, except in this one, we don't work hard for it. Christ worked hard for it. He fulfilled everything. And yet we still do what we're supposed to do, which is we repent and we believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I believe it was Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who said that even if God would have painted a yellow stripe down the backs of his elect, he would still preach the gospel to every single creature. We are commanded to do so. And in fact, the gospel itself brings further condemnation to the wicked who rebel against it. Even the reprobate should hear the gospel, and they will, sadly and tragically, have further condemnation heaped upon them. Isn't that not right?
Yeah, well, you know, Spurgeon has had his way of sort of kicking us in our pants by coming up with these pictures and phrases that are not sort of in common usage, but then when you listen to them, you go, that's right! And you can't hear that even there.
Now, since there are some unique things about those who are of the elect, how do we preach the gospel to people that we do not even know, or at the very least, we can sense that they are not believers? We can see by their lives or their actions, or even the way they are responding to us when we are evangelizing. How can we present a gospel to them without being illogical and contradicting what we believe as Reformed Christians? The example primarily would be, there are many Christians, in fact, I would say that the majority of evangelicals would say to a complete and total stranger, or they might even say that if they were involved in a prison ministry, visiting prisoners on death row, who have no remorse or repentance. They may be serial killers. And these evangelicals would tell these people, Jesus loves you, and he died for your sins. Now, obviously, if we believe that only the elect have that great privilege of having Christ as our substitute, that he took the punishment for the sins of his people, he laid down his life for his church, we cannot tell total strangers or those that are even acting in open rebellion that Christ with certainty died for them, can we?
Well, the way I always do it, which makes life a lot easier, is simply go to a passage and expound it. Go to God's word and share it with the individuals, and then summon them to repentance and faith in Christ. So that way you are not being caught up in what one would call tricky situations, where you are now speaking prophetically where you've got no prophetic mandate. The Bible itself has a lot of passages that you can open up and share, both in the Old and in the New Testament. I mean, the most famous verse in the whole Bible is one of them. Okay? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever or whosoever believes in him should not perish, but instead have everlasting life. That's one that any Christian can, as it were, keep in his pocket. And even if you're caught in a situation where you don't have the whole Bible in front of you to be able to pull out a sermon, you have a text that you can almost bet is, you know, already in your mind because you've heard it so often. And there we speak about a God who has loved the world and there being indiscriminately. In other words, Jesus was speaking to a Jew, and he was saying basically to him, that is Nicodemus, that God has not just loved the Jews, he's loved the Gentiles too. So that's with the context of the world and the extent of that love. So it's not just indiscriminately, but it is also universal. And it's not only universal, but it's also infinite in itself, that he should give his only Son, and the giving points all the way to the cross. And so you're able to expound the meaning of atonement, propitiation there, what Jesus has done on the cross, and then you say to the person, the offer that God gives is here, that whoever believes, and that's what the person is responsible to respond to not only this message, but to what Christ has done, and then make the appeal that the promise is that you will not perish, because currently that's where you are headed. And then that in responding, the person receives eternal life. So really, that's what we ought to be doing. And in that sense, I find it easy enough. You know, the passage in Romans I almost took you to, which is Romans 3, verse 21 downward, basically is a glorious display of the message of salvation that Paul preached and wanted the Romans to have it in a small compass. And again, there speaks about sin being, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Speaks about the way of salvation are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement, blah, 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 blah. That message is there. And then again, to appeal to the listeners to repent and believe.
Okay, we have to go to our midway break. Please be patient with us, because it's a longer than normal break, because Grace Life Radio requires of us a longer break. in the middle of the show to air their own public service announcements while we air our globally heard commercials. So please be patient with us. We'll be right back.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are
are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I know that my guest today, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, has shared a friendship with the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, Mike Gaidosh, for quite a number of years, decades, in fact. Is that not right, brother?
Yes, yes. I remember many years ago, in the late 1990s, in probably either the first or second invitation that I ever had to the USA, that I preached for him. Those were memorable, memorable days.
Yeah, that was actually your first preaching engagement in the United States in 1996, because I was there.
You see? Yeah, you have a better memory than I do. Yeah, but yeah, he's been a solid friend since then. So, yeah.
Amen. Well, folks, please remember that solid-ground-books.com is a very important sponsor of this program. Without their continued financial support, we would likely not be able to remain on the air. So please visit solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, frequently and purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Just have a couple of announcements to make before I return to my interview with Dr. Conrad Mbewe. First of all, the the founder of the G3 conference, where you that you've been hearing ads promoting throughout every program every day, Monday through Friday. The founder, Josh Bice, of the G3 conference is going to be my guest on Wednesday, June the 30th, to give us all his assessment of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. And that meeting has a lot of people very upset and a lot of Christians dismayed, especially those who are in the Southern Baptist Convention. So we will find out more about that on Wednesday, June 30th. So mark your calendars. Of course, we air a show every day, and we have a lot of guests before that who are returning to the program. And I'm just looking to make sure there are none of them that are first-time guests. No, they're all returning to the program as guests that I've already interviewed. But please listen every day, but in particular, mark your calendar to hear our dear brother Josh Bice. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to irontruppandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. Also, if you prefer snail mail, sending in a check the old-fashioned way via the Postal Service. There will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at irontruppandzionradio.com. I ask of you, please, folks, never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Please never do that. That is a command of God to support your church financially. And I would not be pleased if people were giving their churches less money because they want to give Iron Sharp and Zion a gift financially. So please don't do that, and don't put your family in financial peril if you are really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture. Providing for church and family, providing for this radio show, is not a command, obviously. But if you do love this show and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands of supporting church and family, you have extra money for recreational purposes and trivial purposes, well, please use some of that money to help us remain on the air. I'm urging you, if you love the show, help us. We have between 30 and 40,000 people every month downloading the recordings of this show, and yet only a tiny, tiny handful of people are giving every month. And I've got to believe that a lot more than a tiny handful love this show and have the money to help us remain on the air. So I'm urging you, please, if you've never given before, please go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And also, if you have given, and there are those of you who are very faithful, some of you all the way back to 2005 when the show first launched, and some of you are new contributors, well, I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart. I thank you more than I can possibly describe in the English language in any adequate degree. And I am grateful to you, and I am grateful to God for you. Also, folks, if you want to advertise, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe, then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We'll help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible because we really do need your advertising dollars. Also, last but not least, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, including Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. And I have helped many people in our audience in all parts of the globe find churches, sometimes within minutes from where they live, that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know these churches that they pass by every day were theologically sound. So if you are in that category of being in need of a church, whether for yourself or for a loved one, or if you're going on vacation somewhere, please email me to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. We are now back with our guest, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, and he is pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and he is also the founding chancellor, senior lecturer, and director of advancement and faculty at African Christian University. We are talking about the gospel is the same for every nation and for those of all the tribes, peoples, and languages of all the earth. Going back to our discussion earlier, how we who are Reformed, we who believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, we who are nicknamed Calvinists, if we are going to be logically consistent, we were saying before, we cannot say to total strangers, Jesus loves you and died for you. But can we not say with passion and earnestness and truth, and even knowing our own salvation from whence it came, can we not say in a more general way that is deeply meaningful nonetheless, that Christ died for sinners, and no matter how wicked you are, no matter how evil you are, even if you are the serial killer on death row, there is no sin so great and so wicked that Christ's death could not atone for it. Can we not use language like that as well?
Yeah, no, that's definitely within the context of Scripture. As I said, you know, the easiest for me is always just to expound the text. And an obvious one is, for instance, what you've just spoken about is covered pretty well when one looks at, if I still stick to the book of Romans, in chapter 6, again and again, chapter 5, sorry, again and again, the Apostle Paul speaks in language like, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness is to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's obedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. You have a similar phrase in earlier in this same chapter, but the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And even earlier in chapter 3, the section that we had looked at, also brings out the same thought that, let me quickly read it, that God presented Jesus verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So, again, the point being made is that found that text, show it in its historical context, and then show that this is still relevant to us today, and appeal to sinners to repent and believe. Of course, knowing that unless the Holy Spirit opens those blind eyes, those darkened minds, to be able to see this truth, the person just glazes over what is there, and nothing will grip the heart. But where the Holy Spirit works savingly, the sinner embraces Christ as he is offered in the gospel, and the fruit of that is the glorious salvation that lasts for time and for all eternity.
Now, throughout the years, I have developed very, very close friendships with some dear brothers and sisters who are involved in the Messianic Jewish movement. Many of them are indeed Jews that have come to Christ, and even more are Gentiles who just have a passion to see the Jewish people come to Christ, and I share that passion. But one of the things that concerns me that is very much involved in the same gospel for every nation and for those of all the tribes, peoples, and languages of all the earth, there seems to be amongst many, perhaps even most of our Messianic brethren, an understanding of the Jewish people as being in some sense superior to the Gentiles, in that they it is warranted that they have our primary focus, and that any of our leftover time, energy, and resources can be extended to presenting the gospel to Gentiles. And they will use as their defense for that Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek." They seem to interpret that to mean that the Jews have to be at the very top of our list in priority when it comes to bringing the gospel to them. Now, I have a big problem with that. I mean, I'm sure that someone like you in Zambia, Africa, is not surrounded by Jews. Is this not more of a chronological statement that, I mean, the early church was nearly completely, if not completely, Jewish in its infancy, and the audience, of course, initially was primarily Jewish, but then the nations began coming to Christ, and in fact to such a point that the Gentiles far outnumbered the Jews that came to Christ. Is that not more in line with what the Apostle Paul is saying?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it. You know, reading through the early accounts of the spread of Christianity, you can't miss the fact that it began with the Jews and then spread out beyond the Jews. And in fact, we can even dare say that the Jewish believers, initially, it didn't quite click to them that God was breaking down the barriers of hostility in order to make the two one. It didn't quite register.
It didn't even register with the Apostle Peter at first.
Yes, I was going to mention that he was put on his defense among the brethren in Jerusalem. And he rightly answered what Aaron in the Old Testament wrongly said. In the case of Aaron, when confronted about the golden calf, he said, "Well, look, I just threw these pieces of metal and jewelry into fire, and poof, out came the golden calf." Well, obviously, that's not what happened in his case. But with respect to Peter, that's literally what happened. He was simply standing in front of these Gentiles, telling them what he has just experienced, what God has revealed to him. And then as he was going into the gospel, well, the Holy Spirit came down, and the Gentiles began to speak in tongues and prophesy, clearly showing that they had been included into this new body that was galloping forward beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea, beyond Samaria, and so on. So, coming back to your point, it's obviously chronological, because when you then go into the actual teaching of the apostles, I mean, Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 is vehement about the fact that this body that is being created by Christ is one that basically comprises Jew and Gentile at the same time. He puts it this way, that in chapter 2, verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once dividing wall of hostility. I love the way he puts it here in verse 17 when he says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Then he says, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens of the saints and members of this household of God. So it's chronological. Otherwise, there isn't a sort of secondary citizenship and then primary citizenship when it comes to the church. All nations should now be challenged to come through this open door, which is Christ, that they might be saved. So yes, the Jews need to be challenged, as well as the Americans, the Africans, the Indians, any people across the globe at any point in history. There's nothing like, let's put primary emphasis there rather than here.
Now, what should definitely be a part of our evangelistic message? Obviously, there's a difference between having an opportunity that you will never have again, likely anyway, when you're sitting next to somebody, a stranger, on a plane, on a bus, in a waiting room, that kind of a thing. There's a difference between that and a relationship that you believe you have confidence, you will have time to build upon and nurture and grow and invite people to church to hear expository preaching and so forth, where they get the whole counsel of God. But when you're having to edit, as it were, a presentation of the gospel, what must be included in it? Because the reason I say that is there are many, I have noticed, in evangelicalism and fundamentalism that use Christianese, they use buzz phrases, buzzwords, and they don't even define what they're talking about. They'll tell people, you've got to get saved. Are you saved? Are you born again? Because you've got to get saved. And they really don't even explain to the person why that is, what that is, if I'm making sense. What do you think needs to be a part of a gospel presentation, even if it's brief?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me try and put it this way. I would prefer people making those kinds of mistakes than not doing anything at all. Yeah. Honestly, I think our biggest problem is Christians who are waiting for whatever before they can share their faith. I think we must not just think in terms of preaching the gospel, we must be thinking in terms of sharing our faith as we know it. We must be thinking in terms of witnessing, which is, in Greek, it's from the word martyr, where you are basically risking your life in sharing what God has done. So individuals that are, in that sense, nuancing the gospel wrongly, I'm saying, go ahead, we will clean up after you. At least you will have provoked people sufficiently to get them to think about the Christian faith. Having said that, I still must answer your question, what does the gospel really comprise of? Well, the gospel itself is good. So you are not beginning with challenging people to do something. You are telling them good news. You are telling them what God has done, which is the basic good news. Prior to telling them the good news, you prepare them, you prime them up for it by telling them the bad news. And the bad news is, to follow the words of Romans 13 and Romans 3, again. It is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, we are sinners. We are hell-deserving sinners. And we need to see that we are sinners not because of one particular sin, but because we are born that way, and then there is an entire array of sin that we are guilty of in word, in thought, and in action. Having opened that up, we then go into the good news. But God, what has God done? He's given his Son in the way in which we've already explained. So the atonement is all important. The perfection of Jesus in terms of his sinless life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the centerpiece of the entire gospel message. So that's the second part. And then the third is the response that individuals ought to give to that. And it is not that they bring with them, dragging into God's presence, a truckload of their own good works, plus faith in Jesus. It must be nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. So the aspect of by faith alone. And even when we speak about repentance, we must not speak of it as though it is adding anything to God's will of salvation. Rather, it is that we are letting go of everything else in order to cling only to Christ and the cross. So those are the basic content of the Christian gospel.
Now, as you probably are aware, there is sadly a division amongst evangelicals over the meaning of repentance and the necessity of repentance. There are very famous evangelicals who are authors, who are televangelists. I will even name one of the most famous who's retiring now, or has retired, Charles Stanley. His ministry, throughout the entirety of it that I'm aware of, has always featured something very problematic, that repentance is a good thing, a wonderful thing. You're not going to be reaching your potential as a Christian without it. You're not going to be a good witness for Christ without it. But he would teach, as do many others, that telling people that they must repent to be saved is a violation of the precious teachings that you and I believe, that sinners are saved and justified by grace alone, through faith alone. They seem to think that our insistence on repentance has to do with sinners somehow earning their salvation. Evangelicals are divided over this. Even fundamentalists are divided over this. There are King James-only fundamentalists that are divided over this, where some are convinced that the Romans Road method is truly bringing lost sinners to salvation merely by reciting a prayer, even if that person immediately after goes into a subway station with a machine gun and begins murdering people. They have a really flawed, in fact, heretical understanding of the gospel. And then there are those that agree with us that repentance is necessary. So please explain how this is not what our evangelical and fundamentalist friends believe, that is more akin to Roman Catholicism, that we must help Christ to save us. We must add to what he did on the cross. To explain how that is not the case.
Yeah, well, first of all, we need to underscore the fact that the statement of repentance is not our innovation. It's what was being preached in the days of wasn't just Peter, Paul as well, in Acts chapter 20, as he was bidding farewell to the Ephesian elders, put it this way, in verse 20, that I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So even he had this gospel sermon that ended with what they should do, and they should repent, and they should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I mean, if somebody wants to make repentance look like a contribution to salvation, then they are the ones who have to convince us how that becomes a contribution. Because repentance is normal in life. Our children wrong us. And when they do wrong and they regret what they have done, they come to us and say, "Dad, I'm sorry for what I did." We don't look at it as a contribution to our forgiveness. We see it as a turn of attitude, a turn of heart, a regret concerning their previous life or their previous deed, and it's what causes them to then come and ask for forgiveness. So a person is really stretching truth when he says, "I am sorry," and then thinks saying he is sorry is meriting him any pardon that he is receiving. So in the same way, that's what we are doing. The Greek word metanoia, which is what is translated repenting, really has to do with a turnaround. And it's the person turning around in terms of his entire attitude towards God, towards the things of God, towards sin, towards righteousness. It's a change of mind, a change of attitude. And that's what we are appealing to people about. Because God hates sin. He must punish sin. They must abandon sin, and so forth. So that's what repentance is. It's definitely not a contribution, a kind of act of righteousness that we contribute to God's way of salvation.
Yeah, and the irony is, those that are militant about saying that if you add repentance to the gospel as being something required for salvation, the more militant ones would say that we're lost, that we're damned. The irony is then that they would be demanding of us to repent of that way of thinking. it seems the only thing that they want us to repent of is believing that repentance is necessary for salvation.
Never thought about it that way, but you're right.
We're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other break. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Back together again, yeah.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. Dr. Mbewe, a question that frequently comes up on this show, primarily by fellow Calvinists who have heard from a minority movement among us that would say that those that are not theologically reformed, those that do not believe in the tulip, as it were, are not saved, and that they cannot be saved until they actually embrace the teachings that we enjoy and believe and proclaim and rejoice over as reformed Christians. I radically reject that notion, although of course I don't think that everyone who's not reformed are our brothers and sisters just because they claim to be, but if you could explain your own view on this.
Well, you know, I've listened to the argument and I can see their logical consistency, but I would at the same time see the logical flaw that is introduced fairly early in that logic, that consequently bringing them to that conclusion seems logical, but it is certainly a wrong ending. And the basic point is that they equate knowing the gospel in terms of sufficiently to be saved to knowing the gospel in all its totality. And I think that's really where we must beg to differ. All of us, I don't know about you, but definitely I can say for sure that my understanding, my fuller understanding of the way of salvation took place while I was already a Christian. And it was basically, if I would put it, about 3, 4, 5 years down the line, as especially the book of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 were opened up for me. And I understood substitutionary atonement better. But there's no doubt that on that morning of 30th March, 1979, the Lord saved me. There's no doubt about it. The change was dramatic. The joy that filled my my heart, I would have sort of stood on a cloud and sang as loud as I could to everyone on planet Earth. The liberation from sin was drastic. The sin I loved, I now hated. And the righteousness that I once hated, I now intensely love. And yet, my understanding was fairly simple. And in fact, when I first heard of limited atonement, I kicked and screamed against it. But further understanding of God's word enabled me to appreciate it. So we would have a problem then to say, okay, at which point did I then become a Christian by that definition? And I know such individuals then even question the salvation of people like John Wesley, who was a rank Arminian, because they can see that his understanding of God's will of salvation was faulty with respect to human responsibility versus God's sovereignty. And yet there's no doubt that he not only trusted in Christ alone for salvation, though his logic would have been essentially wrong, but he also preached to others a salvation based on the finished work of Christ. And many came to faith through him with all his faults. So that's what I would say in answer to that question. The understanding there is sufficient truth by which we get saved. And then there is more truth that enables us to not only appreciate our salvation better, but it really enhances our worship of God as we are understanding more of the profundities and the immensities of sovereign grace.
Now, I'd like you to have 3 minutes of uninterrupted time just to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding this very vital topic.
Yeah, well, in the 3 minutes, I'd like to say, first of all, that we are truly privileged. There's no better news in the whole planet than the news Christ died for sinners. God himself, the second person of the Trinity, intervening in a situation where we were absolutely hopeless and helpless in order to pay the price for our sin. There's no doubt about it. It is the world's best news. And therefore, those of us who are Christians should do our utmost not only to worship God because of his goodness to us in that sense, but also to spend and dispense in sharing this good news to this world that is lost in sin and degradation. And we better do it, first of all, by just personal evangelism, sharing the good news in the various places that we find ourselves day by day, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, with our workmates, schoolmates, and so on. But then, having said that, it is also that we spend and dispense in getting this message to cross boundaries, and that's what missions work is all about. Now, part of missions work is to go into a different culture and, you know, praise the Lord for missionaries that get into boats and ships and aeroplanes and cross over large bodies of water to take the gospel into places where Christ is not known. But we need to go much better than that to think in terms of crossing boundaries. In other words, if you are sent by a church to go into the next neighborhood to plant a church there, the next town to plant a church there, the next state to plant a church there, that's also solid mission. And we really need to support that, especially those of us who are not going, but instead are remaining behind. We need to put in our money. We need to put in our prayers so that we are seeing this same gospel going further and impacting the world. The first part of the Lord's Prayer must be our prayer consistently. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So I'd like to end with that appeal. That this is not a mere theological point over which we should be arguing. This is a life-saving major endeavor to the glory of God, a God who has loved us with an everlasting love. So let's get out there and share this glorious good news, the best news in the universe, that angels don't have the opportunity to share. Can you imagine? But God has given us the opportunity to do so. Thanks, Chris.
Amen. Amen. I know you got to rush off, brother, so I look forward to our next meeting, whenever that will be, but certainly I'm looking forward especially to you speaking at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Monday, October 4th. So God bless you, my brother.
Thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye, folks. And folks, if you are in or near Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and you would like to attend the conference where Dr. Mbewe is speaking this weekend, Grace Fellowship Church in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. It starts tonight at 6:45, so you've got 45 minutes to get there if you're listening to this program. Also, tomorrow, 4 to 5:30 is the Missions Fair, and Dr. Mbewe preaches at 5:45 p.m. And then on Sunday, he is speaking at the Sunday School. He is preaching for morning worship at 10:30 a.m. And he is also preaching at the Spanish service at 1 p.m. For more details, go to gfchazleton.org, gfchazleton.org. And, of course, you could also ask them for the recordings of this conference if you are unable to be physically present. Also, don't forget about the G3 conference, which is going to be held from September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia, where Dr. Mbewe and over 20 other speakers are featured. On the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All, that's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And the Kabwata Baptist Church website is kabwatabaptistchurch.com, K-A-B-W-A-T-A, baptistchurch.com. And the African Christian University website, where our dear brother Conrad is on the faculty, acu-usa.com, acu-usa.com. Send me an email if you'd like to attend my pastor's luncheon on October 4th if you are a man in ministry leadership. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.